Hi, this is Natalie Lander, voice of Kinsey, Tara Branford, Stargirl, and many others. You are listening to a W2Mnet podcast. You can visit W2Mnet.com for other podcasts about entertainment, video games, sports, and wrestling. You are listening to Video Games to the Max.
Hello and welcome. I love it when this thing, you unmute yourself and then it mutes me again. To episode 277 of Video Games to the Max. And we are back to, the regular things. I was going to try to have Keith on, but, you know, today is Father's Day. And I guess he got going with doing that, or I'm not sure exactly. I mean, he has been staying up a lot, so, you know, maybe he took some of that sleepy time tea and took a snooze. But I'm your host, Sean Garmer. Here with me, Mr. Mark Morrison.
Howdy.
And all right, so, you know, hopefully you guys are ready. Let's be honest, E3 just ended on Tuesday. A lot of the news that's coming from there is, a lot of the stuff that's coming out from there is, why wasn't this shown? Why didn't this happen? Why didn't we get more of this? And, of course, the Xbox Extended Showcase, which I watched. Mark apparently decided not to watch it. So, I guess I'll just have to go by myself for a little bit and talk about, what happened there. Say big shout out to Paris Lily for doing a fantastic job during that show, though. So we'll start a different way here. Mark, I know you've been playing some games. So what have you been checking out?
Let me tell you about a little game called Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
You went back to that, eh?
Well, I mean, I got a legitimate copy. We fired that up. I just cleared the main cast.
What are you playing it on, PS1 or?
PS2.
Okay, PS2.
I mean, I do have a PS1, but it's just, I already have a PS2 hooked up, so it's like, why not? Why bother? That game holds up. It has some elements of slowdown, but, you know, it's good. One of the greats.
Sure.
The newer stuff of, you know, this decade or millennium would be Guilty Gear Strive and Resident Evil Village.
How are you liking that Resident Evil Village? The last time we talked, you were like an hour and a half in. I don't know how much farther you are now.
I'm like 3 hours in. I completed the first main castle, the Lady Dimitrescu or whatever her name is castle. That was all right. Combat's decent. Like, you know, those games aren't really great for combat, but it holds up pretty well. It's the story conceit is funny. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
Because 15 minutes into it, 20 minutes into it, your left hand gets mutilated. Like you lose two fingers.
Right.
So you're just running around for a while. I mean, I don't know if it ever grows back or not, but you basically have two fingers in your left hand. And then 2 hours into the first castle, your right hand gets cut off completely. And you just pick it up and place it back in your stump and reattaches itself. And it's are you a magician? what's going on?
It's a horror game. You got to let it,
I didn't play RE7. So it's I don't know if he's a zombie or if he has magical healing powers, but it's if you can reattach his hand, why can't he grow new fingers or find his old fingers and put them back on?
There's a limit to the magic. Okay. It's not,
I would think the hand would be more magical than the finger thing. It's pretty good. It does a good map system. It looks really nice. Those games tend to.
That's from what Randy has said and Jens. I think they all have said it looked good. So what parts have you got? So you went through the Lady Dimitrescu castle part, right?
That was about it so far. Yeah, that's the first 2 or 3 hours. I like the city act the village aspect, because it's almost, I mean, it depends on how you define it, but it kind of almost is like a Metroidvania or like a, you know, an action adventure game, because like you go back to the city and it's like, okay, now you have this new key that can open up new doors or new areas of exploration to get new weapons or to get new stuff. And I imagine it'll be like that. I imagine the city will keep opening up the deeper you get into the game so you can find better gear. So it's kind of cool that the village itself is kind of like your home base area.
Yeah, you do get more access.
Yeah.
To that as the time goes.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the cool thing about it is as you develop, and I mean, obviously you haven't gotten to the where it changes gameplay styles yet. So.
Yeah, like I know the old ones didn't really have that because it's more. I mean. I guess, well, the original ones were kind of like that, where it's like, okay, now you have, you're in, like, the mansion, and it's like, okay, now you have, like, the ace key, so you can start opening up all the ace, or the, all these, like, key doors and crap like that, but, like, the later ones, they really moved past that, where it's much more of, like, a linear adventure, like, 4, for example, like, that's kind of the start of it, actually, So, yeah, it's nice to go back to basics or go back to, like, how it used to be.
Yeah, I mean,
it's first person.
That's the important part, is at least you get there. And, yeah, you have more to explore, and hopefully we'll get your full thoughts and see what line up with.
Yeah. I have way more other stuff to review first before I can start playing games for fun again.
Anything else on the Guilty Gear Strive?
Review, I mean, I got like a third of it done, but it's more Guilty Gear. Whether you want that or not is up to you. Like the story's bad. It's just a 3 or 4 hour long anime cutscene.
Yeah.
That doesn't do anything for
people. Well, I think it's the story is it appeals to you if you like that kind of thing. If it doesn't, then.
Yeah. I can think of absolutely no one who likes that story.
I mean, people watch.
They try to like cram in like. The thing about like Street Fighter story or Mortal Kombat is they have fights that that makes it an interactive story. Like Mortal Kombat doesn't have a fucking glossary of terms, at least to my knowledge. I guess I haven't played the latest one, but I don't remember that in Mortal Kombat 10. Like this game literally has a glossary of like this is what a gear is and this is what. The shadowy man is, and it's like, who cares? Like,
is that the storm behind you that I keep hearing?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so I should note that at some point, if this feed goes crazy, there's a big storm going on where Mark is in Michigan. So,
the fighting is fine. It's more.
Is there anything new with the fighting or?
The only thing that I can really discern is you have a tension bar, which is basically your super meter at the bottom, and you can fill it up by either attacking enemy, you know, the other fighter, or by just walking towards them. So if you're like, you know, really being aggressive, it fills up faster. That's about it. I mean, I think they took out the instant kills, which is like really bizarre to me because that was like the flashiest part of that franchise. That was like the whole like crazy, you know, like
anime the stuff sequence. They could show in a video.
Yeah, it's like the Faust guy. You know, he's like the evil surgeon. He like cuts up your body or something like that. It's like they took out that stuff, and it's like. Why? Like that was like the defining thing of your franchise. Like, so yeah, it's more of the same. Online is really stupid still, dumber than before. They make you create like a little like 8-bit avatar character.
Yeah,
and it's like who is this for? Like, they've been doing this for like the past like 3 or 4 games. Even like Dragon Ball FighterZ had that stuff, and it's like. This is supremely stupid. Like,
yeah.
And I beat the game. I mean, I beat it like once so far, and like just arcade. It has no story. Like it has no like story fighting mode. The arcade mode is like the most like bare bones thing you can imagine too. Like it has no like character endings or you know anything like that. It's just like all right.
That's usually like, that's the thing that you put into those arcade modes.
And like the bad guy, I didn't even know who he was. He was like some African American samurai looking dude who was like way overpowered. Like, luckily, at least the character I played, like you fight him. It's a 2-on-1 fight. You and like someone else are fighting this guy. So the first time I got my ass handed to me because he like did a one move that took off like 80% of my health. And I'm like, that's cool. And the second time I cheesed the hell out of him. Because my partner kept attacking him on one side. It was facing like one direction. So I jumped on the other side and he was guarding my partner's like attacks. It was an AI partner. He was guarding his attacks, so I just ran up on him and kept throwing him, because that's an unblockable attack. And that worked pretty well. I actually didn't get hit the second time I faced him. Like, one round, like, I got a perfect, and I'm like, yeah, because I'm just cheesing the hell out of him. It's really easy then. Like, so that's about it for me. How about you?
For me, I've been playing this awesome little game called Chicory Colorful Tale. And I've been just, like, I love the fact that of how it is. And it's basically like a coloring book that you can decide, okay, I want to just color stuff for a little while, or I want to actually go through the story and learn more about what's going on with the actual brush and what's, you know, and actually, and like the puzzles are really creative. I love the fact that constantly they're changing up stuff with the puzzles and what you do with the brush, and man, it's just, and then like, as you keep going through the different chapters, you gain more colors. So, you know, if you're watching on video, there's actual gameplay going on. So I didn't quite get to upload my gameplay, so I'm using a trailer here. But still, you'll get the gist of it. There's just, if you really enjoy, like, it, I let Anaya play it for a while, and she loves painting and coloring and everything. And she was like, can I keep playing? So I was like, sadly, I have to keep playing myself to review. But, you know, when I'm done actually reviewing it, you can, you know, play it all you want to. Because she loved the fact of just being able to go in and just play and color and paint whatever you wanted. So I really like that. And then it's like the dog is just super cute, and all the characters are cute. And your name of the character, just so people that, you know, if you're one of those that you really like, making sure you don't have a silly name. I didn't know, so they'd ask you what your favorite food is, and that's the name of the dog. So if you, you know, actually name it by your favorite food, like if you say my favorite food's pizza, that's going to be the name of your character. So
your you know, dog's name is Bourbon.
my dog's name is Ice Cream. But, you know.
For Jens, like, it would be like red wine or something like that.
Yeah, I can't wait till if Jens plays that or whatever. It's I mean, it's out there. It's on PS5 and PS4. Which, if you get the PS5 version, I got a code, so you get both the PS4 and PS5 version. So there's that as well, and it's also out on PC. So if you were
I was gonna say the one other thing is, speaking of that, I bought another Rock Band controller guitar because mine was broken. My yellow button was like not working correctly. My 360 was like so dusty that like the disc drive didn't open.
Oh, really?
I had to like force it open with like a few paper clips because it was so like mungy, you know, because it's not been used in years, you know, like,
yeah.
But I was like, wow, that's impressive. Like, holy shit.
Yeah, another thing I've been playing a lot is Game Builder, Game Builder Garage.
Yeah, the Nintendo thing?
I got that. I was you know, I'm not a programming coding guy, but it was just very interesting to me of like, they basically simplify this programming aspect of, okay, here's a button guy. And so all you have to do is pull the little string. It's all touchscreen. So you're not really using the controllers. It's all on the touchscreen. You're going to move this over here and that over there. And like how you build up, I've only made the first one, which is a tag game, which is the simplest one. And like learning how to build the actual like little levels and everything is, it's like, it's interesting.
I think one of the Wario games had that, like a game builder built inside. It was all like dropping, like basically dropping assets and make your own game.
Yeah, man. I just enjoyed that a lot. Just it's not anything, you know, crazy out of this world or whatever, but I really feel like if you have always kind of had a creative inkling, or maybe you're not, like you just, I think it's something anybody can kind of pick up, and it's only $30 too.
Yeah.
So it's not, they didn't, you know, try to put the Switch tax on it. You know, that credit to them, because they really could have. That's Nintendo in a nutshell. They could just say this is a Nintendo game and you're going to pay that price and whatever, but credit to them, they did not. So I hopefully that means that they're going to really try to, I just want people to embrace it, sort of. Anybody that's picked it up, I'd love to hear like your thoughts on it too, because I hope it gets embraced and it doesn't just become one of these things where they, okay, well, that's it. Game of the Garage. So this is something they could definitely add more lessons to. All right, they could definitely add more lessons as DLC if you want to learn how to create more different games. And they obviously have the creator built the free thing where you can learn how to make other kinds of games as well once you kind of get the hang of it. So I'm interested to kind of keep going through that,
yeah,
and play that more. So we'll see how that goes as far as me playing more of that. But yeah, I mean, those are the two games that I've really been playing. I still got to do that Ninja Gaiden collection review, which is not a collection whatsoever. Don't be fooled. It's a collection in name only, because the...
Isn't it? Well, yeah. It's like Ninja Gaiden 1 and 2, and what's the other one?
And 3. Razor's Edge. No.
Ugh. At least it's not Yaiba.
Well, and they're all the Sigma games, so yeah. It's not even like the originals, which if you already have 1 and 2 on...
All you need is one, let's be honest here.
Well, 2 is good too. It's not as good as 1, but it's fine. Yeah. Like, 3 is where it really just... It came way after the fact, and it just wasn't...
I'm not sure if Itagaki worked on 3. I think he like left after 2, so that's why...
Yeah, exactly. And then they added stuff that I was just like, why? You know? Yeah. It's just like, you didn't need to add that at all. And you know, I don't need something that makes, like, cuts my combo in half. And then something that also, like, well, 2 added that stupid thing where they, oh, you can do this, press a button to do like a finisher kind of thing constantly.
Yeah.
Like why? I don't need this either. So, but it's fine. It's just like, it's the most bare bones thing that you could call a collection. They don't even have it all together. It's like 3 separate games download. You know,
at least Mass Effect packages all together in one thing.
Yeah, that's what's so silly is, I mean, they really just did, there's no extras, no nothing. It's just the 3 games, that's it. So
yeah,
I mean, it's funny how, like, I guess people get away with that stuff. I mean, I guess to credit, it's not 60, I think it's 40.
So that's a little better, but yeah, I think not, I think that, like, one or two other games have done that too, where it's, you know, it's extremely bare bones. I was like, yeesh, you didn't even try, did you?
No, what I wish there would have been. Because I'm sure there's some, look, I get it. They lost the code to 1, so perhaps that means they lost a lot of the extra stuff that could have come with it. But I don't know. Still feel like you're losing out there on that. So,
yeah.
But yeah, that's it for me on the games. Let's get into some news here. Our other main topic, if you haven't read the description, that's going to be our five favorite games from E3. I had so many, I just picked five that I kind of wanted to talk about, because I really could have put like almost any five in here, because there were so many of like indie games I could have just talked about here. But yeah, let's talk about some of the news here, which again, it's kind of light. It's not anything, oh my God, let's really deep dive into this. A lot of it is very ancillary, to say the least. Jim Ryan had another one of his interviews where he, well, it was like with three different, it was with at least two different outlets. He talked to Axios about crossplay, and you know, with those, it's not rumors at this point. It's very well substantiated that apparently Sony makes you pay for crossplay. And Jim Ryan is pointing out that he feels like crossplay is important. And I mean, it may be important, but
Sony still needs its cut.
Yeah, I talked about this before. I don't think it's a great look for Sony. But if there's not enough people complaining about it, then you're not going to really see the dividends of that, of whether or not it's a big deal. Like, as long as you're, people would have to complain about crossplay for everything, and I don't think there's a big enough complaint for that to be something.
Right. Plus, I think a lot of people have like their own. I mean, I don't think crossplay is like super important personally, because like most people have their own groups of friends that have picked one console or the other. You know, I mean, you have both. Jens has both. I mean, I only have a PS5, but it's like,
yeah,
nothing really interests me on the Xbox. Like, that would like make me want to like, you know, do anything like that. And like the games that do have crossplay, like Rocket League or Fortnite or whatever, it's not like those are hurting for players to begin with. I mean,
yeah, it's true. I mean, they're not, but
I mean, I guess, yeah, it is like the whole thing about, oh, this one friend only has like an Xbox, so he can only play Rocket League against, you know, PC or at the time PC or Xbox players, and it's like, well,
yeah,
oh well. I mean, you know. I actually saw something recently that, like, I guess Call of Duty is most popular on the Xbox still.
Yeah, I mean, once you get that reputation, I guess it's...
Actually, this guy, I think it was Dean Takahashi, he was talking about, he hands out, like, codes for like Call of Duty occasionally, and he says, oh, Xbox is always the first one to go, or, like, the first one to, you know, mm-hmm. most popular. And then he said PC is second, and then Sony is third. And I'm like, really? Like, news to me. Like, I would have thought Sony would be second at least, but guess not.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because, like, especially right now with, in the past generation, how much PlayStation dominated.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think that they weren't, and they were the ones that had the special. All the DLC came first and all that stuff. Like, you would have thought,
okay, yeah,
well, they're getting that. So, interesting to note that it is definitely Xbox on that.
Yeah, still, because, yeah, like, obviously, Call of Duty, like, really launched with, like, Xbox Live, like, Modern Warfare. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, like, you'd think after the Xbox One not doing the greatest, like, that people would have switched, but apparently not. But also, that might be because, like, Xbox One didn't have a ton of Halo games.
Yeah.
So, they had to do something.
So, yeah, like, I mean, that's the thing, is the Xbox has been about that. And they're trying to change that. And they're trying to cultivate this sort of same environment that Sony has, where they have their studios, and you know they're going to have games coming out from them. And that they're going to have a lot of games coming at them from them in a steady cadence. And, you know, Jim Ryan was talking to Stephen Tillo, who's out there now the head at Axios. And he was asked about, you know, how is it that they've been able to put out so much in the 6 months of the PS, the first 6 months of PS5. And he's just talking about, you know, it's a great culture that the PlayStation Studios have now. Look at the way Ghost of Tsushima came out. They apparently didn't expect that game to be the way it was. And, you know, it sold a ton and did really well for Sony.
Ask him how the, I forget the studio name, but ask him about the Days Gone 2 people, how they feel about that.
Well, they have been very vocal about how they feel, but I mean, I guess they're also happy that they can work on their own thing. And it's not just, okay, we're doing, I mean, they wanted to do more Days Gone 2.
Yeah.
Obviously, but they couldn't. So,
I mean, they're not shackled to it, which is good, but also, like, I think with that one in particular, is like they wanted to make another game, probably to fix some of the issues of the first one. Like some of these, like micro or some studios, it's like, oh, they are forever a slave to their own success, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, I like that. It's Xbox still got a way to go, but I think from everything that we saw at the E3 and with Bethesda, like that's the one thing I was at first, like, how's Bethesda going to fit in here? They're not saying they're Xbox Studios. It's Xbox and Bethesda, and they've made that clear that they're separate. But I thought they gelled well in that entire showcase of, okay, well, we started with Bethesda. Bethesda was in the middle, and then we ended with them. And, you know, they had Xbox in the middle of all that. I mean, the fact that Halo was in the middle of your conference, like, you know, in times past, Halo would have been either at the beginning or the end. You know, and that's crazy that you have so many studios you don't even have to put. You just put Halo in there as a 5-minute thing, and that's it.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's what they're trying to do. I feel like you got that in the extended, that a lot of these games are going to have a lot to say, and you're going to start seeing them within 2021, 2022 come out a lot more. And that's what I, you know, appreciate about this extended thing. I know you didn't. Really, you didn't watch it, and that's cool. It was 2 hours, so I don't expect that to be.
Here's a question: did they show any new games?
No. Oh well, they did show Hellblade 2. They did show stuff on Hellblade.
Well, 2. That's not new though. But I mean, that's the issue. It's like, okay, it's a deeper dive into, you know, it's like basically the same as that Nintendo thing.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, like. They showed off, it wasn't shown at the regular Xbox thing. They hadn't talked about Hellblade, nothing at all.
No, I know that, but I mean, like, it's not like new, it's not new material, or it's just, you know, here's a 20-minute-long Halo new video. Material
about those games.
Right.
Which most of them were about, 90% of them were shown.
Yeah.
At the Xbox conference. But like you said, it is more like the Nintendo Treehouse.
Yeah.
It's not a long gameplay demos. It's mostly just more like interviews with the devs
me especially not glad I didn't watch it then.
Yeah, you're watching gameplay while they're talking, but it is more about getting information. And, you know, if you want to go into like the Hellblade 2 stuff, I thought like they're still in pre-production on Hellblade 2. They're not even in really production on Hellblade 2. So that kind of tells you where that game is. That's why I don't think we even saw it. I think that might be a 2023 game then, if we're talking about why we didn't get anything from that. You know, they wanted to do something special. It's set in 9th century Iceland. They used a lot of different things to make this feel realistic, which is what's cool out of it. And I think you're really going to get the power of the Series X with this. They've been working with Epic to make like the characters more realistic and more realistic combat. So they showed like it was behind the scenes. It wasn't anything about the game, you know, gameplay or whatever. But again, like that game. Apparently, it's not even coming in 2022, the fact that they're still in sort of a pre-production phase on that. And I think you know, Forza, we found out that apparently if you buy the game, you're actually going to get it like 4 days earlier than everybody else. So technically it doesn't come to Game Pass day one. It comes to Game Pass day four. But
oh no, you'll be so far behind.
Yeah, I did like the fact that they are using like legit Mexican artists and voices. This is not like we're just throwing in stuff. Like they're actually using those actors and everything. I appreciated that. It's not just about going to the location. It's about getting authentic people that go with that location as well. So as a Latino person, I appreciated that as well. So, you know, it looked great. It still looked great. It's Forza. I think the thing that people really wanted, one of the things people really wanted, and they've been having so much fun with it on Twitter. It's all over Twitter, all over Instagram. Xbox Design Lab is back. And yeah, everybody's been making their controller. I need to make a video game cinematic controller just to have that out there. So, because everybody's been throwing their controller in there. I don't know. Did you ever? I know you don't have a new Xbox, but
no, it's kind of cool. But I, you know, I'm just happy with my the regular, you know, colors for like the PS5. Yeah. Like, I mean, you can get custom PS5 controllers or Xbox. I mean, you can get a custom color controller from this one website for anything, really.
Yeah.
It just depends on how much you want to spend on it, you know. I mean, for stuff like that, I'd probably just prefer clear, but they don't want to do that.
Yeah. I mean, you can do that if you want.
So, clear or like crystal?
Well, as like as transparent as you can get. You're not getting like where you can see the innards of.
Yeah,
the,
I mean, that's what I would like. Yeah, that'd be cool to me personally, but
I like that Plague Tale's getting an Xbox, you know, Series X and PS5 upgrade. That game definitely deserves it. So it's beautiful already the way it is. So if that comes to Game Pass, that'd be pretty cool to be able to play it. That way, they did show off RoboQuest, which we didn't get that. It's kind of like a roguelite that kind of looks like Overwatch. Got more Psychonauts 2, which I'm excited. I'm really, really excited about that.
Yeah, I think this was a few days during E3, but like, I think the Double Fine Twitter account posted something like, don't worry, like Psychonauts is coming to a few different Xbox platforms, PC, and the PS4 version, not PS5. Yeah. Like we're going to honor our commitments. And I think I replied back saying like, what about Psychonauts 3? Like,
yeah. Well, I mean,
you think that'll come to PS4 or, you know, Sony platforms? Like, no,
I don't think so. No, it probably won't. The fact that, you know, I'll be shocked if Elder Scrolls comes to PS5, but we'll see. Like,
I think that might, because it's a lot. They would lose a lot of money.
I mean, they're going to lose a lot of money with Starfield too, even though it's new.
IP, yeah, but I mean, Elder Scrolls is a much more, well, it's an established franchise for one.
Yeah, it is an established franchise, but I think this is not about making sure, like, you lose money.
Did you see the Pete Hines quote saying, like, oh, he's sorry that Starfield isn't coming to...
Yeah.
And then Todd Howard's like, fuck PS5. And it's like, okay. That's
well,
really
I guess
weird.
He had to cover his butt if somebody got mad. I mean, to be fair, like, it's letting them do more of what they want, so that's pretty cool. And I think that really helped Tim Schafer be able to make Psychonauts 2 everything he wanted it to make, or it wanted to be. So, you know, that's cool. I knew nothing about the Anacrusis game, and it looked good. There is a lot of Left 4 Dead vibes in here as well. It's funny that you have like 3 or 4 Left 4 Dead type games now, all coming at the same time. This is more like sci-fi focus. Like, he has the director that they had there talking. He's really inspired by like Battlestar Galactica and Logan's Run, and so it has more of a sci-fi look to it. Old 70s, 80s look.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. They showed more into Age of Empires stuff, Grounded, Metaphor, Flight Simulator. He really got to talk about how it looks on the Series X, and how they were able to make that work, and that they updated the tutorials on Series X. So, you know, it was pretty cool to learn.
Dinner also worked in the background.
Yeah, I mean, then Halo Infinite multiplayer got in a little showcase. They didn't like show you a lot more, but they explained it. And the fact that that is all gameplay in that trailer, it's not like them doing a best of YouTube or whatever, I think says a lot. And it's why I'm hyped for that, because that multiplayer made me excited for Halo multiplayer, and have not been excited about that for a long time. So,
I guess my question is why? Like, I mean, not to like be the negative person, but it's like Halo multiplayer has it changed much?
But it's changed though.
That's the thing. Is like, why does this excite you when I doubt Halo 5 did? Or I mean, had it one stupid.
Halo 5, I was thrown out by the campaign, so I didn't want to keep playing anything.
Halo 5 had that like one really stupid mode with the card packs that everyone hated. But
yeah, I think they took that out for this. But it's like, I mean, they seem to really. I love the fact that your guys completely, your Spartan's completely customizable. That to me is. It's pretty cool. Like, you didn't really ever get to customize your Spartan that much.
Halo 4 is good.
Right, but not to the extent that they're letting you do here.
No, it wasn't. Yeah. Was it Halo 4? It might have been Halo Reach. That might have been the one that was, like, really crazy because you could just do anything.
Right.
It needs to like, just import the Forza, like, car painting, like, you know, system for the Spartan armor. So you can run around with a big... big picture of Tupac on your chest plate or something.
I'm just excited for it. I'm also excited to see what more of the campaign, if they're going to show any before we get the game.
Yeah. That's what interests me more personally, is like, see how they wrap up the story, or if Cortana becomes like pure evil, or, you know, if you get
redeemed. What they were talking about, it seems like he's talking to another AI.
Oh yeah, that was not Cortana in that trailer. So, I could tell that by just the voice. I'm like, this isn't her. Like,
yeah,
I don't know her name. I kind of the voice actors kind of seem recognizable, but like, it's like, yeah, that's not Cortana. So I mean, they were talking about getting rid of Cortana, so it's obviously not her.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a lot to like from that extension case. Again, I want to say Paris did a fantastic job hosting. They did some funny stuff there. Of course, the his jab at Khalif Adams with the cock and cook controller was great. I liked it. Again, if you're not into all those games, you can always just hit the fast forward button when something comes up that you don't care about. That's what I did. And I thought it was enjoyable. I think watching live perhaps probably kind of got long in the tooth, but I think a lot of people didn't do it that way. So,
yep.
Speaking of bringing back old things, EA, there is a big rumor going around that EA is going to bring back a classic franchise, according to Jeff Grubb, at their EA Play event. And, you know, it's from EA Motive, which, of course, they were the ones that made Star Wars Squadrons. Rumors it's Dead Space, or people that obviously want Fight Night. There's, other EA franchises. Do you think it's going to be Dead Space, or are we going to be shocked with something else?
I mean, he said, like, it'll be Dead Last or something like that. It's probably the safe choice, but I personally couldn't give a damn about it, you know, because the last Dead Space game wasn't great. Like,
yeah, I mean, to be fair, like, I should have mentioned from the beginning, I had finished work with Slow today, so it could be in Father's Day, so I was able to finish reading Press Restart, which is the new Jason Schreier book, and actually one of the stories in there is about Dead Space, and how the studio started, and how the studio ended, and the reason why Dead Space 3 was made was because of, this was when they were trying to kill GameStop, which, you know, GameStop wound up killing itself.
Yeah, it had the multiplayer in the season, or like the pass or whatever, and all that.
Yeah, that was when EA was still doing the online pass thing, where you had to pay $10 to have online if you didn't buy the game new. And then also, they jammed the multiplayer in there when it didn't really need that.
That's like Mass Effect.
And then they also had to they really just had to get the game out the door.
Yeah.
And Dead Space 3 didn't sell well, and then they wound up killing Visceral because
it would, I mean, there are other franchises I'd like to see EA bring back, like Wing Commander or Mercenaries or Future Cop or a half dozen other franchises that EA used to make, you know.
Progress.
Yeah, like, I mean, that Road Redemption game kind of was like that, but it wasn't quite the same,
I mean, that's the thing is, like, they do have franchises that they could, bring back, but I think Dead Space is one of the ones that people have been really wanting, and it's something different, I think, that you don't, like, you know, well, you mentioned, yeah.
Going.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, by that metric, bring back Def Jam. Forget Fight Night.
Man, I would be down for Def Jam. Tell me, bring back Def Jam. I'm so down.
Not the last one. I have that one, yeah.
Five from New York.
The wrestling ones that wrecked the good.
Yeah, not Icons. That was just, that's when they tried to go too different. And it, like, Five from New York was a good mesh of, okay, we're going to take it out of the wrestling, but we're going to have, like, more of the story and more of the Def Jam in it and more of a, like, backyard brawl kind of thing.
Plus, it had Henry Rollins and Ice-T. That was pretty good.
Of course, yeah. But, I mean, like, I was fine with it. Okay, you want to take it out of the wrestling ring. Cool. Even though Vendetta is really great, too. But Icons was just way too much on the other side. And I don't think it hit as well. As those the other two did.
The other two good franchises they could bring back is Burnout.
Yeah.
Or SimCity.
SimCity they probably won't with the last fiasco, but like I think with them having Codemasters now and all that, like they have their racing games now, like Dead Space fills a void that they don't really necessarily have right at this moment. So and they could even pull it up, put it under the EA Originals banner and not necessarily have to make it its own. I mean, EA Motive's doing it, so that's the good thing is they're giving it to another studio and they're not hinging it on, well, this whole studio's got to make this become a huge hit or whatever, or it's not going to, you know, be this thing. I love the fact that EA has kind of started to be like, we do well enough with these other games. We don't have to have this extreme high-selling game every time one of the games come out. So
I mean, yeah, but also EA Motive, like, they only made two games, and they're both kind of like live-service games. So I would not...
Oh, Star Wars Squadrons isn't really live-service, I would say.
Well, not... Right. I mean, it didn't launch like that, but then it kind of caught on, and then, like, oh, crap, now you have to make shit for this game.
Well, that's good. You should. I mean, that's what you hope for every game, instead of, like, oh, well, now we're having to figure out what to do with it. So,
yeah,
I mean, it is what it is on that. But that's good that EA.
If they can bring something cool back, sure. But they have a very long graveyard of franchises, more than most companies. So.
Yeah, I mean, when you kill that many studios, you're going to have that.
They'll bring back Mutant League.
Well, they had another company do that, and it turned out okay.
It turned out decent.
Speaking of bringing back classic things, there is a rumor. You wanted this, Mark. There's a rumor compilation of the Game Boy Advance Castlevania games. You really should just be Game Boy Advance and DS as well. Just put them all together, man. Just put them all together. Why keep torturing?
I think they might have, if for the DS ones, they'd have to probably do what they did with the Mega Man. Oh, with
the second screen, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't play those games, but I imagine it's probably like the map or the inventory or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd play all those games again. I mean, I just played them recently, so.
Yeah, I mean, so it's cool. Even if it is just the three Game Boy Advance games, there's some really good games there, so.
Yeah, well, one in, I think it's Harmony of Dissonance. Well, the first is like Circle of Moon, then Harmony of Dissonance, and then Aria of Sorrow. The first one, Circle of Moon, isn't the greatest, from what I remember. It's interesting, but like it's like too dark.
Yeah.
But the other two were like really great. I finished Harmony of Dissonance like a few weeks ago. So.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's great that if those games do come, they'll be put into some people will have the ability to be able to play them now because going back to play Game Boy Advance games. You could do that right through emulation, but not always the best way.
Also, those games are like, at least Aria of Sorrow is like expensive. It's like $100 nowadays.
Oof.
Yeah. It's funny. Like, I got the double pack, the castle, and that has Aria and Harmony on it, and that's cheaper than Aria of Sorrow by itself. And it's like,
well, yeah, because getting the one game is, you know, it's older and it's the original. So
nah. I'd rather have the cart that has two. You know, it's legitimate, obviously, but I'd rather have that instead.
Fair enough. I mean, you know, at least if you don't want to play these old games, you can play a game that was maligned and now back again, as the Cyberpunk 2077 is going to be hitting the PS Store again, which I'm surprised they didn't just wait until the PS5 version is out to put it back on the store.
Well, I think they announced they're releasing some new PS4 patch for it that's going to fix what they say is a ton of issues. The problem with like waiting for the PS5 version is who knows when that's going to hit. I mean, that could be...
What's hilarious is the fact that like they even have to put a disclaimer still of...
Don't play, sure it, play it on the PS4. Yeah.
Yeah. Put it on the PS4 Pro or the...
Don't play on the PS4 original. It may burn down your system.
Or it's still going to look like, you know, it's still going to have its bad moments that you don't want to play through. That was the reason why they took it out the store in the first place. So
it was funny. I think it was some other publication. They posted about the story a few days ago on Twitter. And my response was just the Ryan Reynolds clip of, but like the picture from saying, but why?
Well, I mean, it's been on the S-Bus store the whole time, so why not? I'm sure there'll be a lot of people that see it back on the store and they're going to buy it all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Will not doubt that for a second that people are going to start buying this. You know, and if you want to buy Back for Blood, just be aware that very much like Outriders, it's going to require a constant connection. So, ooh. Beware.
I saw some people like bitching about this, and it's like, don't you realize why? Like, it's not like it's just, it's not like it's gonna be some like huge issue. It's because they're gonna be selling new cosmetics and microtransactions up the ass.
Well, it's not just that. I think it's also it's easier to like.
No, it's not easier to build an offline version.
They don't want to have to. Okay. So it's easier to, if you're going to, so their point is, it's to constantly, I'm sure, to have be able to have drop in and drop out, like to be able to bring someone in that's, you're already in a game. Let's let them bring that person in. Like it, then you're having to not only be patching in and out, like have patches for the online mode. Then you're having to, well, what if the offline mode messes up or whatever? So it's you know, it's the, I don't like it. I was with Keith the entire time with Outriders. It should have had an offline mode. This, I think, will suffer from the same problem.
Doesn't Outriders also sell cosmetics?
Yes, there's cosmetics, I'm sure. But yeah. I'm just saying it's not just about the cosmetics. It's, they want to do it this way, that you don't need to have the campaign be online only to sell you cosmetics.
No, you need it to be online only so people can't hack the game to get like infinite money or every cosmetic unlocked.
But it's just, it bothers me that like you don't have that option because the servers will inevitably go down, especially the fact that it's day one on Game Pass.
Hey, just man.
Like Outriders.
It worked for SimCity.
I don't know. I mean, I get it. Warner Brothers might be able to... Oh, they're going to do a beta, so this might help them.
If it's Warner Brothers, take like the cosmetics angle up to like times three then. They'll be selling you cosmetics up the ass for that game.
I just worry about...
It'll be like different, you know, different costumes, different weapon skins, different, you know... voice backs or lines, you know, Oh, here's a Mortal Kombat character pack, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt on that, but it's just, man, I just cannot see this going very well with the whole let's do this all online.
Cause, I'd rather play it offline. Like, I barely ever played Left 4 Dead 1 or 2 online. I pretty much just played it solo by myself.
Well, I mean, if we're all going to play together, you got to play online, but... You know,
yeah, that worked well for Scott Pilgrim, didn't it?
Hey, Scott Pilgrim. Well, it didn't work out well for Scott Pilgrim, and then we had to wait for a patch, and then, you know, we didn't come back. But, you know, I think that this. I'm glad that Back 4 Blood has the Game Pass, so that we can all play it, and you know, you could try it out. But it's just with what we've seen already, I'm so worried about. The backlash of what's going to happen with this.
Yeah.
And yeah, it doesn't go well. Speaking of online, though, GTA Online is going to be shutting down for the PS3 and 360. Not that matters to me at all, but I'm sure there are people that for some reason they're still playing this on the PS3 and 360 and never got the PS4 or Xbox One version or the when it was free on Epic Game Store or whatever. They're no longer going to sell the online Shark Cash cards on there. They're also going to end support for Max Payne 3 and L.A. Noire, which I don't know why you're still playing those on online. But, I mean, there you go. End of an era, I guess.
Yeah, it lasted a while. Like,
well, yeah, if you're gonna bring it to the new consoles and it's still going to be on PS4 and 360, I mean, probably the amount of people that this is really affecting is very slim.
Yeah.
At this point. Very slim. You know, sometimes we talk about rumors on here, and these are one of these things that, like, either it can be a thing or it not. Now, to be fair, I mean, Alan Wake Remastered being on Epic Games Store wouldn't be that big of a stretch. I mean, they had Control be exclusive to Epic Games Store, and that's a Remedy game. So would it be that much different if Alan Wake was there? No. Kingdom Hearts is exclusive to Epic Games Store. Final Fantasy VII Remake also winding up there. Not too much of a stretch either, but...
That's a little strange to me because I think Final Fantasy 15 launched on Steam.
Well, that was the 4 Epic though.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I think it did pretty well in there. Like,
well, but I mean, like, that's the thing. If you're getting offered a buttload of money by Epic,
yeah,
you're gonna take it if you're Square.
Right.
Right. Like, even though you're canceling out all these people that have Steam like yourself and necessarily don't want to have two launchers and they want to have the game on Steam, people will see it on Epic Store and they'll probably buy it. I want to see the numbers. I wonder if they'll ever release them. I'm sure we'll have to wait till probably the next whatever Square Enix Q3 thing is to see if how much they were able to make off of Kingdom Hearts coming to Epic Games Store.
Yeah. Not a ton because those games launched like ridiculous prices.
They did, but you'll be amazed at the fact that people that they have not played these games yet, and the fact that they're on PC, they will now check them out. So, you know, I agree that they launched at a ridiculous price, but
I mean, if it was like $20 per game, I might have been interested, but not 60.
Oh, I agree. I agree with you. I don't think that they should have been. They should have been. Well, the older games, 3 could probably have still been $60. But, you know, it is. That's those things of like, I'm sure if not 3, I don't think 3 is possible. But if they ever launched 1 to 2.8 on the Switch, that will probably still be $60 because.
Yeah,
they can get people to buy them.
Yeah,
and they know people will. So, unfortunately, that's just the way things go with that for some reason. And we kind of already knew this anyway. Like the PSVR is going to be coming out in 2022. Interesting thing that they're going to be using those same Samsung OLEDs that supposedly the Switch Pro is using, which Doug Bowser had to give out this most PR comment ever on the existence of a Switch Pro, basically saying nothing while saying a lot. But supposedly holiday period 2022, I think that's a pretty good bet for PSVR.
Yeah,
to be coming out.
And to much, how long they've been in the hands of like developers, but
yeah,
sounds about right.
You wanted to talk about this AEW game trailer, which
just looks, you know, it's very early, but he has, I don't know the guy, but
yeah, Darby Allin.
His opponent, the Army Man, looked pretty cool.
That same green man that was in all those WWE creative thing games. So you could definitely tell it's Yuke's inspired there.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I mean, Yuke's used to make good games. So it's just the WWE ran him into the ground, or, you know, just a constant.
Well, yeah, I don't know if it's WWE. It's just when you're annualizing something, there's only so much you can do.
Yeah.
As you see with EA and the NBA 2K series and all that, it's like there's only so much they can do when they have basically 9 months to turn around, make the same game, but add stuff to it. It's like, man,
yeah,
I don't envy those people at all.
For this, it'd be nice if they were serious, it'd be nice if this game like launched like 60 or 70,
mm-hmm.
Was an actual good, like, wrestling game engine and just said, this is it. It's like Rock Band. Like, we'll sell you like season pass characters or updated rosters, but that's it.
Yeah.
I doubt they'll do that, but they should, you know.
I agree on that, but they won't. They'll find ways to put DLC in there too, because...
Well, I don't mind. For that, I don't mind it, but it's like, you know, just the constant... Every year, it's like another $60 game. It's like, no, or $70 game. Or, I mean, hell, WWE games are like, what, they can get up to like $100 now? Or, you know, all those stupid like special editions or, you know, whatever. It's like, forget this.
But all games do that whole getting into special editions and they cost money and everything. It's like, that's not out of this realm. I mean... They want to give you a reason to pre-order. They want to give you a reason to buy it the first day. I mean, so, like, what?
Yeah, but
what difference does that make?
They don't have to, or, you know, that's what it's.
But WWE wants you to, because that's how they get. They can make these big things and say, "Oh, look at all the people that went out day one and bought this game." Like, you know, so.
Yeah, and then they have to cancel the next year's version because the version they released was so shitty.
That's another thing entirely. That's Visual Concepts somehow messing that up.
Yeah. So yeah, it looks all right. I mean, like, yeah, like very early access, but hopefully it's good. Like,
yeah, I mean. Yeah, well, let's hope so. I hope so, just because there needs to be some competition. So the fact that there can be two American wrestling games again would be cool.
Yeah.
You know, compete on two fronts, not just on the TV side with the actual wrestling, but also compete on the video games. And we know that's one thing Cody Rhodes has really been, and also Kenny Omega. They're both big gamers.
Yeah,
that
makes me also a little more hopeful than – EA, you know, or not EA, but WWE just kind of rubber stamping something.
Yeah, definitely. I'm done with that for sure. Like, I think, I'm excited just because, like, they have a really good roster. So, like, getting to have them all in a video game, like, I think is pretty cool. So let's hope that that game comes out and it's good, at least. We know it's used. I think it'll be serviceable, at least. What are the modes going to be like? Are they going to have different stuff than, you know, the WWE games and all that? Are they going to have a story mode? Let's see. Let's see what they all decide to put in there. So, You know, I mentioned that a lot of the stuff that's coming out is still kind of E3 based. We still gonna get through, you know, this like in June, I think get into July and see what happens. But because we didn't talk about it enough, we mentioned some of these, but I think it's always nice to like go through, and if you have a lot more to say about a certain game, we can do that here. So I asked Mark to come up with his five games of E3 2021. Like I said, I could have probably put any five on here. Like my one and two, I think I definitely would have had on here, but the other three, I could have replaced them with like at least 10 or 20 other games. There were so many I liked, just to be honest, but I just kind of picked these because I also enjoyed these a lot as well. So I already talked about one of them, like, well, they weren't mine, but like the honorable mention would have been Psychonauts 2. I talked about it already with Extended. There's just, I actually want to go back and play one now on Game Pass just to like have a lot of the, like, remember what that, the like inner workings of that game. I kind of know the generalities of that game, but I don't remember like the kind of stuff that happens. Yeah.
Each level had like its own kind of gimmick and own like power up and, you know, upgrade stuff like that. It was good. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited for two just because it seems like Tim Schafer just went like put up the volume to 10 with number two. So we'll definitely see how that goes. So your number five game, which we didn't really see anything of, we just saw basically I think it wins for me for being a great trailer of they just kind of made fun of themselves, I feel like.
Yeah.
But what did you like the most about it?
Well, I just like that it's going to be bigger environments, you know, probably more a better story. Yeah, but it's Outer Wilds too. Or Outer Worlds, sorry.
Yeah,
everyone gets those games confused.
Yeah.
The first game had a lot of like personality. I'm more excited for that than like Starfield personally.
That's interesting, yeah, because you're you know, you like Fallout and
yeah, but like the last few Bethesda games haven't really hit for me that well. So
yeah, I mean, that's fair enough on that. But I just like that trailer was funny, and they had a good laugh at themselves for that. So I appreciate that the jokes are still there for Outer Worlds. Who knows when we're going to see it, but at least it's you know it's coming. And so interesting on that front. I mean, you're – number four game is also on my list, Advance Wars. Like, were you that big of an Advance Wars?
No, I never actually played it. There's an older game franchise called Military Madness.
Yeah.
That Advance Wars, I wouldn't say stole from, but liberally borrowed from, let's say that. Yeah. I was a big fan of that. And Advanced Wars looked like that game with like actual characters and a story. Mm-hmm. So that's good. And I have a buddy of mine who was like, he reviewed the game back in the day for GameSpot, like a long, you know, long time ago. And he's like a big fan of it. So he's all excited. And so am I.
Yeah. I mean, how do you feel about there's, I don't know why this, I mean, I get it. Like, there's people that are just married to the sprites and everything, but like, no, I don't,
you just can't have it because it's, you know, they're making it a lot smoother. But yeah, you're going to have like ugly ass pixel art on a 1080p display or 720p display. Like, come on.
Yeah, that's the thing that people don't understand. Like, you're making these for modern consoles. Yes, it's still the Switch, but also, you know, it's coming out at the end of the year. We don't know if that Switch Pro is coming or when it's coming or whatever. You know, if this is also going to wind up getting bumped to 4K, you really don't want that art style.
Yeah.
Made for that. So, like, I feel like this is this is the best of both worlds. You're getting Advance Wars 1 and 2. It's great that we're getting that, and we're getting it this year. Yeah, it's at the end of the year and all that, but, you know.
And online multiplayer.
Yeah, yeah, and online multiplayer. That's even better, too. So, yeah. Yeah, I'm down with that. And your number three game is a game I kind of saw at the PC Gaming Showcase, and I was like, okay, this right here is a Mark game.
I mean, it's Humankind. Yeah. It's basically Civ, or like Civ 5.
Well, yeah, that's what I was saying. But, it's like
Civ. I didn't like the last one they made, or I didn't like the last Civ game they made. This is Amplitude Studios. This is owned by Sega, I think. They made Endless Space, and but the game they really made, I like, was Endless Legend. That was like a fantasy based one of the 4X game, but it was incredibly good. Probably one of the best I've played. So this looks to be like the real life version of that. So I'm on board.
Yeah, and that's fair enough. I mean,
yeah.
So yeah,
that should be very good, actually.
I mean, let's hope it is. Let's hope it is, for that sake. So, you know, your number two game, this was a game I looked at and I was like, wow, this looks great. Lost Ark.
Yeah, so, this is an old ass game. This has been out in, I think, South Korea for like damn near, I think it was like 4 or 5 years. It came out in like 2018, but it's been around longer than that. I think it's been previewed and demoed for like over 7 years. It's basically like an MMO Diablo game.
Yeah.
There's like 10 or 12 different classes. It looks beautiful.
Yeah, it did look great.
It's very physics-based, it looks like. Like, you know, you hit an enemy in like Diablo, like with a ground spike, nothing happens. They just like take damage, you know. This game, like enemies, like fly up, and then they land and take further damage. I've been wanting to play this thing for like years now, so it's cool. It's on Steam. Like they're already selling like some packs for it. That's definitely one of a top game I want to play.
Definitely, and we had a guy we had on the final E3 post show. Charlie was absolutely enamored with this game, your number one game, which, you know, yeah, I think if you know Mark at all, he is a big into the Metroidvania. So having a new Metroid game is not totally out of the wheelhouse there for Mark.
Yeah. And
I mean, it's cool. Like it's not just Metroid. It's an old Metroid game from like the 2000s era, and it's a little bit different than your typical Metroid 2.
Yeah, it looks really great. It's been almost 20 years since a classic Metroid. I know I saw some comments about like people didn't like how the 3DS one. I don't think what it's called.
Return of Samus? Or,
yeah. About how that played. But we'll see. Like, I'm only giving the benefit of the doubt. Yeah,
it's the same studio. Like there was a lot of people that liked liked that as well. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, it looks good. You know, I'm excited for, like, Axiom Verge 2. But, you know, that's, I would say, a little more of a known quantity. You know, since they just made Axiom Verge, like, 4 or 5 years ago. Like,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, new Metroid, cool. But I need to get a I need to pick up a special edition of that game, like the Steelbook collector's bullshit.
Yeah, there was a lot to. That's gonna be hard with everybody wanting that thing sold out in like seconds.
Yeah,
so gonna be interesting if that gets restocked or not before the game comes out in October. Of course, mine's going to get cut short here because one of mine was Advance Wars. That was my number two game. I'm really, really hyped for Advance Wars to come out and get to play that again. A game that it was one of the only ones where I got to talk to a developer, which sadly I did not realize that there's a There's a multi-view of your sound settings that will actually, I don't know why my computer did this, but it muted Discord. And I did not know that until I was going around the internet and I was trying to, because I use Discord a lot with Outer Haven with Keith. And I was going, why am I not hearing the sounds that it makes like when, you know, somebody has a new message or whatever. And all of a sudden I go in, I search Google. And I'm like, there's a multi-view of sound settings. And I click on it. I go, Discord was muted. You got to be kidding me. I missed out on a damn interview with the developer. I got to ask some questions, like, written, but it's not the same, you know? So, yeah. Like, it sucks. I got to miss out on that because of freaking my computer muting Discord for some reason. I couldn't figure out what it was. But the game that I'm talking about, which they do have a demo on Steam, for this, it's been out for a while, the demo. They did have an E3 build of the game as well. So, like, we got to play a little bit of an extra part of it that, you know, you didn't get to play if, you know, you weren't like E3 Media Week or whatever. But it was interesting from the fact of it is, if you look at it, and, you know, if you're looking at a video, you get to see this. Of it's basically Pokemon. It's called Coromon, and it's Pokemon from the Game Boy days or GBA days or whatever. But it has a different kind of story, and it has Zelda-like puzzles in it. So like you can actually die from the puzzles, and it actually has like big boss battles like Golden Sun. So. Like, that's what I appreciate about it. They didn't just go and they took a lot from Pokemon, just like Temtem, but they didn't try to make it a Pokemon like exactly like Temtem does. So Temtem was an MMO. So, and there's a create a character type for your person. There's like stats that you actually get to decide whether they want to build them up or not. There's difficulty levels that has the Nuzlocke in it already. So, like, there was a lot to like about the game, and I'm excited for when it, I mean, it's not going to come out until way later, yeah. But like it's on PC as well. It's not just, it's going to come to Switch and PC, which is cool. It's not going to just be on Switch. So, you know, you could play it technically if you wanted to. So, you know,
yeah. Me and the Pokemon games were all like that.
Yeah, you and the Pokemon games. I know y'all are just best of friends. One of my favorite games from the Xbox showcase, which you know, Kyle was all over this when you know he was on. This was his favorite game, I think, from the entirety of E3. Which I don't blame him. This was a lot of people's favorite game. Is Replaced, which looks absolutely gorgeous. Of course. You know what this game is. This is that the game that has the sprites and it has like this these amazing backgrounds on it. There's a lot of rumors that it's the also like from it's like the replacement for The Last Knight after, you know, that developer didn't do himself any favors. Yeah.
Dude, there is an old Xbox Live arcade game I played. I think it's called Deadlight.
Yeah, Deadlight. Okay.
It reminded me a lot of that. That was not a positive experience for me personally. No. So,
it wasn't, but this looks a lot better. So
yeah.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
As far as that goes. But yeah, I mean, it's cool that like this game got to be in that showcase and it's, you know, but it looks amazing. Like I love the part where he just like snaps the arm back and all that. That's pretty cool. So another game that has a similar look on that end is Loot River. I've talked about this game. Like I'm surprised it doesn't appeal to you as well because it's like Tetris and a roguelike and has a lot of action in it too. So you've seen it, right? The the one where he's like you're the one that decides to move the panels.
Yeah, it's a really dark game though.
Yeah, it's a very, well, like, it's a, you know, gory game. You're killing these like pixelated monsters or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just love that it like has these, the panels that you move, and there's so many different strategic ways of killing these enemies. And then also just all that, you know, goodness. I mean, I'm going to have to get used to the whole roguelike thing, 'cause I don't play those games much, but for me, it's cool that exists.
Yeah. I mean,
and it's been showcased a few times at the ID at Xbox and all that. So, definitely I'll be waiting for whenever this game's out. But I think my favorite, and it was shown at the Devolver thing, the game that like every time I see it, I can't stop thinking about it after it gets shown, is the Death's Door. I don't know exactly what it, like, I love the gameplay style. It has the top down, which isn't always necessarily like my bag or whatever, but like, I just think that this whole thing with the gameplay looks great in it as well. And just, it looks like a lot of fun. It looks like, yeah, a lot of fun. Just,
well, it's like, it looks like a Hades offshoot or something.
Yeah, that too. I don't know what this is, like a falcon or a crow, I guess, that goes into it. Like, I love these boss battles look fun. Just, man, there's a lot to love about Death's Door. And I mean, like I said, there's a lot of these games that I could have put in here. There's so many indies, and that's the cool thing, is if you have today and tomorrow, I'm not sure how long the Xbox One lasts, but as far as the Steam Next Fest, I think it ends in a couple days. So yeah. I would definitely go and go download the demos of any games that you sort of liked, indie games wise, at any of these showcases, because there's a lot of them on that Steam Next Fest, and like, they're gonna go away. You're not gonna be able to download them after the 22nd. So even if you download them, that means you have them. You can keep playing them over and over. So I would definitely do that. I downloaded like 40 games yesterday while I was doing the podcast with Keith. So like, there's a lot to go through, and man, some of these I'm going to be excited to check out. So definitely, I think people should do that. I don't know. Was there anything I mean, I don't know if any of these games were on that or anything, but definitely you should go check that out. And yeah, this is kind of a light week. We'll see how things go for next week once we're finally out of that entire E3 realm, and a month from now we'll be talking about EA Play. So yeah, we'll see how that goes. And then Annapurna's doing a thing, and PlayStation, Sony's still got that PlayStation Experience rumors going around. So we'll see. But there are some games before we get out of here. There are some games that are coming. Two big ones. Super Mario, Mario Golf, Super Rush, got the two mixed up, is coming on the 25th to the Switch. Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 is also coming to the Switch. And Scarlet Nexus is the one coming to the other consoles, a PC, Xbox, and, you know, PS4, PS5, Xbox One. That's all coming out June 25th. So I'm excited for both Scarlet Nexus and Mario Golf. So this is going to be interesting. I'm hoping, I can get a code for Scarlet Nexus, but we'll see how that goes. The Legend of Mana remaster is coming the day before that. You got Dungeons and Dragons Dark Alliance coming. It's on Game Pass. You can play it on Game Pass with your friends, but it's also coming to the other consoles, PS5, PS4, Xbox One. That Tokyo Olympic Games, you want to play as Sonic and look weird, go for it. The Eternal Castle is an indie game that's coming. And by the time we get to the next show, Disgaea 6 will be out as well. That's on Switch only. And then the Zombies Ate My Neighbors collection with Ghoul Patrol is also coming to, you know, the older consoles, but yeah. Obviously you can still play them on your thing. And also you should go check out that Beast of Maravilla Island, which is like a Pokemon Snap with like more like alien creatures. It's Shadow Dropped at E3. You can go check that out too. It's one of Kyle's favorite games that he liked on there. So yeah, definitely going to be, there's a lot to look forward to this week here. I'm sure that there's got to be something there that you liked. Anything that you were like kind of jonesing for? Or?
I mean, Mario Golf looks pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the big one for me. I mean, yeah, Scarlet Nexus might be okay, but it's probably not going to be like my bag personally.
Yeah. That's the thing for me is like, and then also that Monster Hunter, it's late. Monster Hunter Stories 2, that the demo comes out also on the 25th.
Can't wait.
And that looks fun. I'm gonna try that out to see if I wanna play that the actual version.
Yeah. Or not.
Looks like kind of like my bag. And then there's a few things coming out like in the middle of July, including Skyward Sword Remaster. So until then, but yeah, I mean, I like the fact that we're kind of getting like, it seems like every week we're going to get something people can check out, which is always a good thing when, you know, not being without games for too long, you know. But all right, man, I appreciate everybody that stuck around for the entire show. If you watch this live on the YouTube, on Twitch, on the WTM Network Facebook page, on that WTM Network channel, there is more video stuff going up there. If you haven't noticed, Mark Radlich got into video with all his stuff. So we had a video review of In the Heights. We had a video for why can't I think of this right now? Not the music stuff. Because we're trying not to avoid getting any kind of like copyright infringement.
Yeah.
And I'm worried about hopefully none of these trailers, even though I played them on mute, are going to cause us to get into any trouble here. But
they mainly focus on audio, so
yeah, they only focus on our audio. Our anime podcast, Talk to Keiki, has now had their second episode. That's not video, but you can definitely go listen if you're an anime fan. Go check that out. Rather did a Long Road to Ruin on the Porky's trilogy. They did a video for Dark Side of the Ring, the first part of season 3, which I, for some reason, I got myself into watching. So there's that. I got myself into watching like a lot of those a couple of days ago. So they're definitely, obviously, Dark Side of the Ring is always good. So. If you watch that, you already know what it is. And yeah, so definitely be checking that YouTube channel. I'm going to be putting up some Chicory Tale gameplay and, you know, some of these demos that I'll be playing from games that were shown at during E3 as well. So be on the lookout for that. And who knows? Maybe I'll play around and do a video review if I can figure out how to edit pretty decently.
Yeah.
So that would be good if we can start getting into that. And of course, Mark has the Shin Megami Tensei 3 remaster review, which that's what I'm going to do right now as soon as I get off, is actually get that posted. And then Mark said he's almost done with the Guilty Gear Strive as well. So that will be up there pretty soon. And yeah, so things are happening right now on the video front. So if you're we're getting into that, into the 21st century. Finally, we're not these old folks that much anymore. And of course, you can go check out all of our E3 content that's in the E3 321 playlist. Thank you to everybody that joined us for all those. That was really cool to have so many folks come back or just guests as well. And of course, hit that subscribe button, ring that bell so you can get all of our stuff when it gets shown off, when we're going live, whatever, for a show. You know, obviously subscribe on the audio front So you can, anytime somebody does a podcast, it's there, whether it's WTM Network, and you, that's on all the different podcast places you can think of. And of course, also just Video Games to the Match, you can subscribe there. Go check out Mr. Rylus's stuff. Go check out the Kickoff and Black Irish. They had new shows this week. Go check out Chapter Select. They talked about Loom. And, like I said, go talk. If you like anime, go check out the Talk to KK as well. And until next week, folks, we'll see y'all later. And thank you for joining us here.
Later.
Bye, everybody.